from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Noon at the tone. Pacific Daylight Time will be.
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rodden.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sicanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hour number 3, we are moving right along. It is an SOB edition of Primetime today. No Rop, he'll be back tomorrow, but it is Sook, Ortner, and Buckley riding along here with you. And we got some guests, well, not some guests, we have a guest for a couple segments coming up. Dave Bartu, the great, and I like to call the most interesting man in the Northwest. Been a
Jack
while
of trades. Since we talked to the great Dave Bartu.
Yeah, absolutely. But coming up in the club tonight, got a couple things for you. Space Force could have company in outer space. A $46,000 wedding without the groom. And Aaron Rodgers' friend beheaded a whale. So
yeah, that's a whole thing.
We will get to all of that, but to make sure that we are rolling and on time for Dave Bartu, we're going to get right to our Hot 5 at 5.
Oh!
Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food, the most popular burrito spot in Oregon. Online at victorico's.com.
Number five.
Number five, this just into our newsroom. I see that Seattle legend Sue Bird has had a street named for her in Seattle, Sue Bird Court, outside of Climate Pledge Arena.
Okay.
So the former Seattle Storm great, she's not still playing, is she?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, she retired. I want to say she retired a year or two ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It was either last year or the year
before.
She
just hangs around with Megan Rapinoe.
But yeah, she's been honored up in Seattle. And additionally, wanted to course through this in here. It's the start of the U.S. Open in tennis. And it's only the first round, so there's nothing big going on there. But I did see today, are you familiar with their signature cocktail? I know you're a cocktailsman.
I am not familiar with the U.S. Open cocktail.
It's called the Honey Deuce.
Okay.
And it is Grey Goose vodka, fresh squeezed lemonade, Chambord raspberry liqueur, crushed ice, and fresh honeydew melon balls.
Let me just say, for the record, I think that sounds delightful.
I think it sounds pretty good, too. Last year, they sold 450,000 of them at $22 each.
$22?
They made $9.9 million on the honeydews.
Gosh almighty.
Yeah.
Dude, cocktail prices now are steep. So you gotta find a nice little dive bar, right? Go to Jerry's, they'll treat you right.
That's right.
Cheap cocktails, $22.
I know. Well, I mean, you're going to a major sporting event. Yeah, I mean, it's obviously the Masters keeps prices low, but not everywhere else.
That's Vegas prices.
BMW Championship over the weekend saw Keegan Bradley win it. He was the last player to make the field at 50th to even have a shot to play in the tournament. Now he moves up to, I believe, fourth in the FedEx Cup standings going into East Lake, where the top 30 players will duke it out for the FedEx Cup prize.
Because this is it. The cuts have been made, right? So now we got 30, and I think they're playing for what? It's like $18 million.
$18 million. Yeah, it is, that purse has gone up and up and up each year.
That's not a major or anything, but I think I might rather just win that.
And now they do the thing where they allow the FedEx Cup points to all accumulate, and based on where you are, they slot you with a head start. So the top, I believe, 10 players get a head start. But Scottie Scheffler is going to start 10 under par, followed by, I think, Xander, who is 8 under par, and you go on down the line like that. So how about a little bit of MLB talk? We brought it up a little bit earlier because it was such an odd anomaly, but Danny Jansen making Major League history today, being the first player to play for both teams in the same game, a game that was postponed in June and got restarted again today.
Well, it was interesting because he was actually at bat when the game was postponed.
Yep.
So when it started, they had to make an announcement that he was being pitch hit for, and he was catching when they were making the announcement that he was being pitch hit for.
And then, of course, Shohei Ohtani going 40-40 over the weekend. The Mariners, as Will noted in his Sports Snort, they took 2 of 3 from my Giants over the weekend. But they're idle today. And guess what? The Astros are winning again today. They're up 2-1 in the bottom of the fifth
inning. If you're a Mariner fan, you know, keep an eye on this. I think they play, it's like the Angels, the Rays, the Angels, and the A's. Their next three series. And the Astros start with the Phillies. The next like 9 to 12 games are significantly harder for Houston than Seattle, and with only 30 whatever games left, if there is going to be a jump, it has to happen in these next, you know, 9 to 12 games.
Yeah, we saw the pendulum swing hard against the Mariners. Now, if you wanted to swing hard back the other way, it has to happen now.
Houston, by the way, up 2-1, bottom of the eighth against the Phillies.
And we mentioned it a little bit earlier, but Uchenna Nwosu of the Seahawks, their best edge rusher, going to be out anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks with a meniscus or MCL injury. Was it MCL?
MCL.
So, a blow for them. We still like what they're bringing on defense. Hopefully that Mike McDonald's scheme can kind of help save that a little bit. But he is nicked up. And then, additionally, I have no idea what the hell's going on with this Brandon Ayuk stuff. It seems like there are new reports every single day. Now the Niners and Ayuk are again at an impasse. They can't reach an agreement. And Peter Schrager and others are tweeting about possible connections back with the Commanders all over again.
It's ridiculous. The CeeDee Lamb deal just got done. I mean, I guess the framework of the deal is, supposedly what I heard was fine. It was the last year of guaranteed money. He's basically looking for a fully guaranteed deal, which isn't going to happen. I mean, no offense, but at this point,
I
kind of feel like this is on Ayuk, right? The only
it does feel that way.
The teams that are willing to give you the deal you want, you don't want to play for.
Yeah.
So at this point, I mean, I usually side with players, but I think this is on Ayuk at this point. Either agree to the trade or suck it up and take a little less guaranteed money. You're young, you can still make it up.
And then,
and you're, by the way, you are not CeeDee Lamb and you're not Justin Jefferson.
Speaking of wide receivers, the news of the day, CeeDee Lamb, the now second highest paid non-quarterback ever in the National Football League. He agrees to a 4-year, $136 million deal with the Cowboys, ending his holdouts.
Yeah. And the only thing I don't get about this is Dallas was never going to move on from CeeDee Lamb.
No.
So and they said they're going to be smart with his ramp up, right? You got to be careful when you haven't been doing football related activities, soft tissue injuries, you know, pulled hammies, things like that. This deal was going to get done. You didn't save any money. It's a $136 million deal. It's the second largest of all time. Unless he was asking for way more than Justin Jefferson and you got him off that number, it just blows my mind that it took the entire preseason and offseason to come to this. I don't fully understand that one.
I don't either. And so I guess my question about that is that Jerry or management either being cheap or just overly optimistic that he would for some reason take less? Because, like, why are you going to do that positioning and grandstanding if you're just going to give him all that money anyways?
I don't know. It just, you see this all the time. I mean, Trent Williams is still out for the Niners. He doesn't have his deal done. I guess they say this in business all the time, right? Like, it's not an urgent thing to get done until it's urgent. And when you start missing real games, that's urgent. And with Lamb, because he's on a rookie deal, I think they can forgive the fines. Trent Williams, they can't. Like, Trent Williams is getting fined, and he's going to have to pay those fines. I don't know. You would think that sides could come to a more reasonable explanation agreement.
Yeah. Arrangement. Yeah.
When you know that neither side's moving on. The Ayuk one, they are willing, and he is too, evidently, to move on.
Yeah, but kind of not, because every time they find a spot for him, he's like, no, this isn't right.
The CeeDee Lamb thing and the Trent Williams thing, dude, get that done. You could have had that done a month ago.
And then you're not taking those risks that you talked about. Just get the deal done and then let him take most of camp off.
So now we get to turn around and listen to the whole Dak Prescott thing of will he or won't he. And they'll get something done, too. They're not going to move on from Dak Prescott. Stop it.
In the NFC East, Eagles or Cowboys for you this year? Or I guess I could say Giants or Commanders, but I don't think you're going there.
No, the Eagles have a much better roster. I just have questions about the coaching staff, but I'll take Philly. I'll take Philly. They were 10-1 last year. So as long as Sirianni gets out of the way and they revamp the coaching staff, the Philly roster is better. Plain and simple, it's better. I'll take the Eagles. And no, I'm not taking the Commanders and I'm not taking the Giants.
I wanted to bring this up because we got a tweet. You and I were tagged in this, Suk. We have one of our loyal listeners at Costco right now.
Don't do it.
And they're looking at the Banana Republic chino pant.
Don't buy the Costco pants.
By the way, when I picked mine up, there was just the khaki color. There's navy and gray. I might have to go back for more.
Just telling you, don't buy your clothes at Costco.
And I'm telling you, depends on the brand.
Be better than Costco.
You can find some good finds.
When it comes to your clothing, be better than Costco.
Don't even have a card.
The Hot 5 at 5 is brought to you by Victorico's Mexican Food, home of the best burrito in Oregon. You can always visit them online as well at victoricos.com. Our buddy Dave Bartu, it's been a long time, but he is back to preview the college football season with us next from the College Football Matrix. That is next here on Primetime 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Week 0 is in the rearview mirror for college football, but that means the real action starts this week with a bona fide week 1, plenty of good matchups. And a guy we like to have on the show plenty, whether it is basketball, football, but especially at the beginning of football season, the great Dave Bartu is with us. How are you, Dave?
Dude, the great? Come on, man. Come on. But I will tell you, I am so high on life right now. This is like the biggest professional week of my career this week. So I am pretty jacked up. I appreciate you guys having me on, though, right here in your backyard from Forest Grove.
Does anything change with the expanded playoffs for you? Or, I guess we don't officially know yet how the selection committee, but I guess in your opinion, because you've always been adamant that the committee does the same thing. It's very predictable. You know what to make of it. And the rest of it is just kind of BS and fluff that they put out for PR. Do you think anything changes with the expanded playoffs, or is it just committee as usual?
Well, right now it's committee as usual, right? I mean, number one, we were promised transparency, and they gave us the ranking rules. And then everybody forgot about the ranking rules and complained that we weren't getting transparency. All we got is what you just said. The narrative constantly changed. Different chairman, different way of telling a story, different way of trying to appease people. But look, nobody wants to hear that if they were on the committee, the outcome would still be the same. Right? Nobody wants to hear there is no eye test. Nobody wants to hear the people on the committee don't have the ability to do X's and O's, just like 99% of the people listening right now don't have the ability to do X's and O's. I can't do X's and O's. And if you and I were on the committee, guess what? Rankings would all be the same. You follow the rules. This isn't a committee that gets to make up their rules. They just implement the rules that were given to them. Now, up until this point, we haven't heard that those rules are changing. Right. So strength of schedule is still the last thing they're going to consider. It doesn't matter if an SEC team is 9-3, 10-2 ACC is probably getting in over them, you know. So but what it does tell us, though, and I think when I was driving the other day, I heard you talking about, hey, 10-2 doesn't automatically get you in. I think that was that last week or something like that.
Yeah, it was last week. Yeah. We were saying that when I've looked through, I went back and I looked at like the last like 7 or 8 years. And to me, when I looked at it, 3 losses basically eliminates you. I don't think.
Oh, yeah, you're toast. Actually, I went back and I looked at all 10 years, final regular season 12, throughout COVID year.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't count, yeah. Right? Even though the rankings, they still held rank and file. So 9 years. And so 9-3, if you were a Power 5 team, now Power 4, remember, all we did is lose two teams, Oregon State and Washington State. Everybody else still has the same conference schedule. Yeah. Different teams, same number of games, okay? So 9-3, there was 36 instances of 9-3 Power 5 in the last 9 years. 3 made the top 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
3, right? And that was all one season. I think it was 2018, and a bunch of wonky stuff happened. And it was like 2 SEC teams or an SEC team and a couple Big Tens or whatever it was. But 3 out of 36, those are your odds.
So essentially a third loss should eliminate.
And by the way, we don't even – and that being number 12 doesn't guarantee you anything because a group of 5 has to get in and they may not be a top 12 team.
Right. Well, what I actually – I even went more in depth. I went the final 11 and then added in that tier 3 team, right? Your Memphis, you add in that Cincinnati. Now, when Cincinnati was number 4, then I added in that 12th team.
Yeah.
Right? But really, you're trying to get top 11. But 9-3, absolutely no guarantee. I can unequivocally say, Big 12, 9-3, ACC, 9-3, you're not getting in.
Yeah.
Okay? If it comes down to all else being equal, strength of schedule matters. You don't hold the candle to those other two conferences, especially the SEC. So
this is where you texted me something when we were talking about that, because as I made the argument, and I'll be interested because I trust Dave through and through. I learned years ago when Dave called the Wisconsin Oregon State game. I was at that point. I was like, and we didn't know Dave from Adam. I was like, I'm not going against this guy.
Dude, that was the first time I was in studio, and I'm like, here's why Oregon State's going to beat Wisconsin, and you looked at me like Bart II is an idiot. Get this guy out of my studio.
After that, I was like, dude, I'm listening to this guy. But so
right, and so everybody needs to stick around for as long as you guys have me on, because we're going upset alert today.
All right,
going upset alert now. Back to the playoffs.
Yeah,
and I know what you were talking about too is your preseason rankings. Let's put a pin in that right now. Let's focus on what it takes to get in the playoffs.
Yeah,
10-3, 8 times a 10-3 team missed the top 11.
Hmm.
8 times 10-2. I thought in my mind, right, I think all of us would go, 10-2, you're a lot. No, 6 times. So 1.5 teams per year for the last 9 years, 1.5 a year, missed the top 11. So it's far from guaranteed. Mm. Now, one of the cool things that may happen, and this would be the really, you want to talk about blowing things up, is the 10-2 team that is top 11 going into the championship game, that is outside the top 11 after they lose.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That happened.
We've seen it. It punishes you for playing a championship game.
It does. It happened 5 times. So every other year, a team that entered 10-2 left 10-3 and would have missed the playoffs.
Mm.
Oh, man, you want to talk about crying and gnashing of teeth?
Yeah.
Woo! That's going to be juicy. I only hope it comes to fruition earlier than later.
Yeah, that always bums me out when a team basically kind of guarantees their spot for not being in their conference title game. And then the team going into that conference game has to play another game against usually a top 10 to 12 team. And it just seems like that is the definition of being ass backwards, that you're punished for having a better regular season and then having to play an extra game against a really good team. I hate that.
Well, yeah, and so you physically get beat up, then you get beat up in the rankings, right? And then if you actually end up in the playoffs, now you've played an extra game more than the 10-2 guy.
Yeah.
Completely, utterly imbalanced, in my opinion. You know, but, you know, to get rid of the championship game, we get rid of a paycheck, so we can't do that, obviously.
Yeah.
So 10-2 doesn't insure it either. And then everybody, you know, 11, 12, 13 wins, obviously those are all in. Okay. You're going to make it. So 9-3 is you're out. You are playing for at least 10 wins, and God forbid you are in the hands of the committee, because ultimately you just want to win that title and not be one of the teams that they have to pass judgment on.
So, I mean, essentially we've talked about, like, end of this new era, maybe we can get more aggressive scheduling because you can, it's not a downside if you lose a game, but essentially if you want to, it's even an easier scheme, or it's an easier system to scheme now, because if you're one of these teams, let's take Oregon, for example. You know, you don't play anyone in the non conference schedule, and there's only real three teams that physically are on par with you, and you can lose two of those, and you're basically guaranteed to be in.
Exactly. So why schedule tougher, right? Yeah. Why make it tougher? And now to win a national title, you have to play. You have to play 16, 17 games. Why would you schedule tough and beat yourself up in September? If anything, this says schedule easier, right?
Yep.
Stay healthy, because look, you're going to get tough games if you make the playoffs. I mean, you think about it. If you make a conference championship game, then have to go play essentially three top 10 teams. There's nothing easy about that at all. So there's no incentive to schedule hard. Strength of schedule has no correlation between the quality of team. It's a BS number. It's crap. It doesn't mean anything at all, and the committee regards it least of all. It is the lowest number on the totem pole when it comes down to using it for the rankings. So why chase that? That's why I said, if you're going to be a wild card team, make it 66%, or weight it based on the quality of your non-conference games. Oh, you went 4-0 against really tough teams. Cool, you're in.
Is that kind of more what the NCAA tournament committee does?
Right. But see, they get to play 32, 34 games, 36 games. You know, there's a lot more room for error. When you only play 12, man, there's no room for error. And the injuries are so much more catastrophic at college football versus college basketball level. So I see people trying to compare that all the time. And it's just like, you know, it's not even apples to oranges. I mean, it's golf balls and pickup trucks. It's just, you can't do it.
You really, I mean, it's true. Like, you've taken away any incentive whatsoever to schedule outside of your non-conference, especially now if you're in one of the two big conferences, the SEC and the Big Ten, where you know it's going to be a bit of a meat grinder and you're going to get two or three of those top 12 teams anyways. It really does behoove you to schedule the Idahos of the world.
Yet the SEC, dude, I can't wait for the SEC to go to 2026 to win a 9 conference games. Oh my God. These fans, the
will they have
the attitude
to?
Of, huh?
Will they have to go to 9?
No, they've already announced they're going to
They're doing it. Yeah. Okay.
They are doing it. 2026. I mean, all these fans that are like, oh, you got to play tough to be the best, right? I'm like, you know, being 5-7, Arkansas is a good year. It's not anything to be joyous about.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going to be bad. I've already run the numbers. If you took the easiest game on every SEC team schedule today and threw it out for Vanderbilt, okay? Vanderbilt's the worst recruiter in the SEC, and they're 37th in the country in high school over the last 4 years, okay? You throw in Vanderbilt, the SEC this year, by my numbers, and again, I told you, strength of schedule models are all crap, even mine. But by mine, the SEC would have 15 of the top 16 strength of schedules this year. They are going to kill themselves over their money they're trying to derive by going to 9 games.
Yeah, and it's the kind of thing, too, I feel like for a long time that's kind of been their ace in the hole, in that they can schedule in the middle of their season that extra bye week, an extra win, essentially – avoid the risk of having to take another loss against a pretty tough conference anyways. But
I do want to ask you real quick, because I want to go back, because we put a pin in that, but I want to go back, because I was you know, spitballing the other day, and because preseason rankings usually don't mean anything. I firmly believe that. But in a case of if you're sitting there trying to sort through, let's say, you know, four or five 10-2 teams, or maybe even two or three 9-3 teams for that 12 mm-hmm. spot, I made the argument that preseason bias, you take a team like Oregon versus, let's take Oregon versus Washington this year. One's not ranked, one is ranked very, very high. I would make the argument that being an Oregon team, and if you lose early on as a highly ranked team, especially against its quality teams, we always have a tendency to bounce you back. Whereas if you're a team like Washington and you're not ranked in the top 25 and you lose those, you can get buried behind. I would think that a two-loss Oregon team, even if they lose to the exact same teams, just from a committee standpoint, I just think it would behoove you when you're talking about the difference between 10, 11, 12, 13 to be higher ranked. We always treat higher ranked teams better when it comes to losses. Or am I out in left field again? And again, like you said, it doesn't matter. It's only the rules at the end of the year.
Yeah, to me, it doesn't matter. We've never been able to show a correlation between preseason rankings and what the playoff committee does.
Yeah.
Nothing. Right? I mean, we could rank Portland State, Portland, Idaho, and Idaho State 1, 2, 3, 4 right now. Guess what? By November, they're going to be gone and it's going to be sorted out. And if you watch the AP Top 25, the coaches poll Top 25, everybody's focused on it right now because there's nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
There's talking points, right? So you can't get rid of it because it takes away a narrative. But watch all of their rankings shift immediately with the first playoff committee. You'll see it the very next week. Everybody moves over to whatever the playoff committee said. So I don't believe any preseason has any impact whatsoever on the actual playoff committee rankings. It's seven variables. They put them out there. How else do you rank all these teams in 24 hours? Instantly, right? Because there's no eye test. There's no time to watch games. You know, this is big corporate, big business stuff. You have to just check boxes and get it done quickly for the TV show. There's no time to sit there and go through all these extra things to get it done. So I believe, and I can't prove it, I believe you're wrong when it says preseason rankings matter. I believe that we could just do away with them entirely, but what else would we have to talk and bitch about?
Yeah, I just wondered with the, because I agree with you when you're dealing with four. But I just kind of thought there, you know, when you're dealing with 10, 11, 12, and look, there'll be some years where I think this gets sorted out because, you know, that there's a big line of demarcation there. But if I've got 5, 10-2 teams and I've got 5, 9-3 teams, I don't know. I just in my mind, and we'll see how this plays out over the years. I just think that having that early season idea in your head that you were supposed to be good may help you out versus a team that's lost a couple that never was highly ranked.
And maybe that is, right? Maybe what we do is if you guys want to have me back on the day or two before the first playoff, the last playoff committee ranking,
I see that.
I'll give you the mathematical 1 through 12.
Yeah, because you'll know.
Right? I'll just say, here's my 1 through 12 by the math. And we'll see if they deviate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we hit 1 through 4 every single year. Right on, in a row.
Yep.
Right? And so now all of a sudden, if that suddenly deviates and there's teams all over the place, then they've changed without telling us.
But no evidence of it right now. Yeah. They followed the rules. Even though the talking heads will sit there and tell you that they don't, you've cut through that a million times.
Yeah, they're so full of crap.
Yeah.
I mean, they really are. But what else are you going to do? Because, like I said, the fans don't want to hear this. Takes actually 15 minutes, and anybody can do it. Just toe the line and be a committee member.
Talking to Dave Bartu of the College Football Matrix. You can follow him on X at CFB Matrix. And one of the great things that Dave does over at the College Football Matrix is he tracks all kinds of measurable things from coach effect to personnel across the country. Coming up next, I want to ask Dave about which teams have seen the biggest losses and gains, especially as we've seen so much movement in the transfer portal and the coaching landscape. We'll get to that next, but first, Will has a SportsCenter update.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Primetime, talking to Dave Bartu of the College Football Matrix. And Dave says so many things that spark something that, like, I want to ask about that. I want to ask about that. I want to ask about that. This year specifically, you mentioned something when we were talking in the last segment about how much injuries can be a crusher in college football. And it feels like, especially now with the new playoff format and the fact that you're going to have to win two or three games to take down the crown, that health and that depth is going to be more important than ever. We've also seen more transfer and more player movement than ever. I know these are things that the college football matrix tracks, as well as the coaching effect and the coaches that are in new spots. What has your data told you, Dave, about just from a on-paper roster and coaching makeup standpoint, who's taken a big jump going into this season and who may have taken a step back?
Well, you know, from a talent standpoint, I really don't believe you're jumping in talent year over year. It's a 3-4 year process.
Sure.
Right. You know, unless you can drop $2.5-3 million on a elite quarterback that can walk in and win football games for you, you know, like a Gabriel, like a Ward, the numbers haven't shown that the portal means anything, you know, because ultimately your best recruiters are still going to get the best players in the portal.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you know, you don't expect Washington State and Oregon State to get, you know, top 10 portal classes. You know, so why would it really be any different? And if you look at last year, the best high school recruiter over the last 4 years won 73% of all the football games, 133 teams, 73%, highest number this century, were won by the better high school recruiter. So I'm not seeing the correlation across football for the transfer portal, but you want to talk about programs that have made significant talent moves, Power Four, over the last 4 years. Now, two of them won't surprise you because guess what? They're moving from little boy football to big boy football. BYU, number one. Average recruiting class over the last 4 years, 22.7, five spots better than their previous 4 years. Yeah. UCF, 14 spots better. In between those two, at number two, you got Missouri. You know, one of the big reasons for Missouri making the moves that they have last year and predicted to do so well this year, their coaching staff is really good, their schedule is highly favorable, and their talent profile has gone from mid-30s to top 20. That's a real big reason for Missouri. Texas Tech, same thing. They have moved their needle recruiting as well. And you kind of go down the list, some of these other teams that you see here, Kansas State has made big changes. Mississippi has made big changes. And I know there's probably a lot of Duck fans. What have the Ducks done in the last 4 years? They are 15th in Power Four recruiting improvement. Their average class is 5.5 spots better each of the last 4 years than the previous 4 years. So, you know, Oregon's not anywhere near the top of that list, but they've made significant strides. And then right around Oregon, you got Miami and Notre Dame. So I guess there's three teams in the top 15 right there.
Does Oregon fit the profile of a championship team from a talent standpoint?
Yeah. They're one of five.
Yeah.
They're only one of five.
Oh, five.
You know, there's only five contenders. If you look at everything, every national championship contender in the most very basic numbers, okay, 23 out of 25 are top 10 recruiters. Check. Right? We're talking the number five recruiter coming into the season. So you have the talent, which is the most important thing. Do you have the coaching staff? Right? Do you have 3.5 star or better OCs and DCs? Yes, you do. They're very young. They have a very high ceiling. We really don't know exactly how good they could be, but Oregon has the staffing to be able to do it. Were they good last year? 25 of the last 25 national champions were top 25 in scoring efficiency the year before. 25 of 25. You don't win without being good first. So Oregon has that as well. And then the last thing, are you top 20 in ease of schedule? Oregon's ease of schedule is number four. The schedule they have is an absolute gift. And there are only four other teams in college football that have the talent, that have the coaching, that have the previous year performance, and a top 20 ease of schedule by my numbers. Right. And that is 23 of their last 25 champions. The only two to win it that didn't have the talent box checked last year, Michigan, number 13 with an NFL quarterback, Clemson, number 13 recruiter with an NFL quarterback. So if you're not in the top 10, you better have a first round NFL quarterback and a hell of a good head coach.
Yeah. So who are the other four? I'm assuming like
Georgia.
Georgia, yeah.
Right? Georgia, obviously. They have the talent. They have the coaching. They have the previous year performance. Top 20 ease of schedule. Ohio State.
Okay.
You know, and Oregon or Ohio State may end up playing three times. Yeah. It'd be unbelievable.
That's wild.
They have all the pieces. Texas has all the pieces of the puzzle. And I'm trying to – nobody in the Big 12, I mean, they don't even have a top 25 recruiter. No. So they're all out. And I don't think anybody from the ACC was contending. They're all out.
Like a Bama or the other one.
And it's not Alabama. I know a lot of people go, well, it's Alabama, but Kalen announced that Nick Sheridan is calling the plays. Well, Nick Sheridan's called plays for 2 years, and in our grading system, yeah, he is bottom 40% offensive coordinator in college football. He's had two really bad years. Now, if it was Kalen calling the plays, absolutely, right? Now, he's still overseeing it, but that doesn't mean the same thing. So, you know, until I see Kalen DeBoer calling the plays, I say Alabama's out because their coaching isn't good enough. I think that's it.
Yeah, because that's only four. So there's going to be one more. Is it Notre Dame, LSU maybe?
It might. No, it's not LSU because their scoring efficiency was crap last year.
Hmm.
Remember, they had the 97th defensive scoring efficiency.
Yeah.
They lost their four-star offensive coordinator and their Heisman Trophy winner and replaced him with a no-name OC. Hmm. So LSU certainly has the talent, but they didn't have the performance last year. I think you would have to call LSU more of a 2026 contender if this year is good. Hmm. Michigan's out. Right, they you know, their coaching staff is, you know, by our numbers, bottom 30 in the country, and they lost everybody, and then they lost their entire offense. So I don't believe in Michigan at all. It would probably be another SEC team, but it's for
Ole Miss?
Whatever reason, it's not popping in my head right now.
Hmm. Is it harder to now under this system? Is it harder to win a national title than it's ever been, or is it easier?
I think it's tougher to have a dynasty. Right. So I don't believe you can compare Nick Saban, anybody today, to Nick Saban, what he did. Maybe somebody does figure out how to do it. But every time you play a game, your odds of winning or losing, I should say, catch up to you. It's really hard to win over and over and over and over and over and not have a hiccup, especially when you're dealing with 18 to 22 year olds. You're dealing with depth issues. I think the transfer portal doesn't add to your overall talent, but I think it hurts your depth, both physically and psychologically. Guys that are already checked out that are looking to go somewhere else for a bigger paycheck because they're not playing enough. So I think it's more difficult, but I also think at the same time, it condenses the number of really serious contenders to people that can stay healthy the entire time.
Yeah, Kirby said something. I saw an interview with him about a week ago, Kirby Smart, where he said that. He said the biggest thing for him is the depth. He goes, I know everyone thinks, you know, oh, Georgia, but he brought up the fact that in this current model, depth is an issue. Because you're relying on way more young guys that are unproven to be depth as opposed to guys that maybe were hanging around.
Exactly. And every time you snap the ball, you're one more play from your quarterback going down,
yeah,
right? And we've all seen it. We saw Florida State season end on one play.
Yep.
As Duck fans, you know, heck, I still have PTSD from Dixon,
mm-hmm,
you know. So, you know, every time you go out there and suit, you play this game, yep, you know, Ryan, you have, man, you just don't know what's in store. You know, your season might be over in the blink of an eye. And, you know, now that we're adding four more games, yeah, I think Kirby's 100% right. It's all about attrition and health.
I do remember the year that Oregon played Ohio State in the national title game, and that was back when we just, you know, you had the conference title and then, you know, the couple extra games. And I remember just after the game, both of those teams, winners and losers, being on the ground and just being exhausted. I remember both sides, you know, guys in the locker room talking about just happy it was over and the exhaustion. And now you crank that up by an extra three games. You know, it's going to be interesting down the stretch. It is 100% going to be a battle of attrition at this point, guaranteed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is, and that's why, again, we go back to stack September as easy as you can. I think the SEC is crazy for going to 9 conference games. Get everybody
too
into the playoffs and let it rip.
Well, Dave, before we let you go here, and we appreciate you hanging with us for a couple segments, but I want you to look into your crystal ball here. Is Dave Bartu playing any college football futures? Who do you like to take it all down this year? And then additionally, the second one for you before you get out, what do you eyeball in week one?
Okay. Well, football futures, well, it wouldn't be me if I wasn't negative on somebody, right?
No.
So I will take UCLA under any number but zero. Dude, it opened at like 7.5. It's already down to 5.5. I still think there's tremendous value in UCLA.
Okay.
They've lost their talent. That coaching staff stinks. I think Michigan's going to be under. I don't think Michigan's going to be a top 25 team. I said last week Florida State's not going to be a top 25 team at the end of the season. I think Oklahoma is going to win 6 or 7 games. They will not be a top 25 team. Another one that's under is Colorado. I mean, I maybe it's just me being a nasty guy, but I think Colorado's on the precipice. If they lose this first game, they're going to lose all 12.
Ooh,
I mean,
that's tasty.
Coaching staff is worse in every area. They hired Pat Shurmur, and if anybody knows Pat Shurmur, they know NFL, right? He is our fifth worst graded offensive coordinator in our system because we also do staffing for NFL clubs too. Pat Shurmur is the fifth worst offensive coordinator in the NFL this century.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Jeez. He is trash. Right? I mean, if they win a football game, everybody donates their game check to Shadur. Because that's it. You don't win with transfers in the NFL. You don't win with free agents. This is a really, really poor coaching staff in a conference that is highly, highly coached. So I'm not buying Colorado as well.
And then how about week one, Dave? I know you said you thought there might be
some upset alert.
Yeah, let's go.
So what I'm looking for in September, because nobody really knows what's going on, right? This is a really good time to take advantage of lines. So there's one game. There's two games I'm looking at. They have the same profile. The home team is a big dog. The home team has out-recruited their opponent over the last 4 years. The home team has a better graded coaching staff in my numbers. Okay. The first one, and we're going back to betting the jet and the bug on this baby, right?
Yes, I love
these. So the first one, Vanderbilt at home against Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's coaching staff is bottom 25 in the country. Vanderbilt's out recruited him. Vanderbilt 37, Virginia Tech 42. Vanderbilt catching minus 13. At least take the points, at the very least. But I'm circling upset alert. The loser of that game, Clark Lee or Brett Pry, is getting fired in December.
Oh,
we got a hot seat game in week one, baby. I'm calling it now. Loser gets a steak knife.
I'm brick,
buddy.
I love when Dave gives me an upset alert of 13.5, and it involves Vanderbilt. Let's go.
Yeah.
Right? God, college football is here.
The Oregon State-Wisconsin game, it just gives your sport pants all tingly.
Absolutely.
The other one, down in the Bay Area, better coaching staff, better talent, catching 10 points at home in front of 23 people that will attend the football game. Welcome to the ACC, Stanford TCU.
Okay.
We're not going light on the upset alerts here. We're going all in. So if you lose any money, it's not my fault, but I just like both of these games.
Yeah, I'm looking at the line now. Stanford, a 9-point dog right now, it looks like. They're a plus 265 on the money line, if you like it.
That's plus 265, that doesn't feel like a lot of value for minus 9. But check out the line. I think it was 9.5, so that line might be coming down. So if you're in a place where you can bet it, I really think Vanderbilt, because Vanderbilt turned two things over this year. They turned over their offensive coordinator, totally upgraded that. Clark Lee's taking back defensive play caller. And I'm telling you, Virginia Tech, I just feel they're massively overrated. Their recruiting is bad. Their coaching staff is bad. And I think this is really, really right for one of the big, I don't even know who's playing, upsets of the weekend.
I love it. I love
Vandy plus 390 on the money line. That's tasty.
I don't know if I've
juicy baby.
I don't know if I've ever bet on Vanderbilt in my life, and that's about to change in this next break. Bovada, here I come.
Oh God! I saw that one, and I'm like, who the hell bets on Vanderbilt? Yeah. Seriously,
we do now.
Right? We do now. That's who we're going on this journey together. That's what we're doing.
Oh yeah. So next time I come on, I'll have to come up. I was just thinking about like a big suit
you know, game of the week, just the most obscure bet I could come up with that nobody's going to watch the football game unless they got money on it.
And that's the reason why you gamble, is that you can pay attention to Vanderbilt, you know, football, because there's no other reason. But I'll be paying attention to it this weekend. And if that one cashes, we got a beverage, we got a scotch on me, Dave.
Oh, dude, I'm driving down, and I'll try to go 9 hot dogs and 9 beers. Live in studio, baby. Let's go.
That sounds like a wonderful opportunity. Dave Bartu of the College Football Matrix. You can follow him on X at CFB Matrix. Always appreciate the time. Be sure to check out his Patreon. Tons of good data there about the upcoming football season. Dave, we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Love you guys. Thanks for having me on.
Coming up next, college football conundrum of sorts. There are celebrities on a plane. They're all from the world of college football except for one. You get to pick where you want to sit. Mm-hmm. That's coming up on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Prime Time. Always good to have Dave Bartu on. You can, of course, check out that interview later where you find, excuse me, got a little bit of beef jerky down the wrong
side. I was going to say, you went over into the snack bag over there.
I know. I hit the
jerky.
We talked about this on Friday a little bit, the Costco snacks. That would be the tagine seasoned beef jerky from Costco. Got a little bit of that pepper down the wrong pipe.
More of an old trapper man myself, but understand, it's decent jerky. So buy your jerky at Costco, just don't buy your pants or your shirts.
Or do buy or your pants.
Can you please get that list out so that I can live my life by that? Can you make sure that you have the do's and don'ts for Costco for me?
Yeah. Simple. Anything at Costco is good, just don't buy your clothes there.
Can I buy golf balls?
Actually, no. Though I guess those are trash.
Are they? I thought the Kirkland balls were supposed to be good.
There's a really good company that you can find. It's called My Golf Spy. You can find them on Twitter. They have a website or whatever. And it's really cool. They do like robotic testing and no bias, no nothing. And you get to find out what's good, what's bad. And believe it or not, for the price point, the Costco ball, I hate to say this, but it's a trash ball.
Okay.
Because it's not the cheapest ball out there.
Right.
But there are much, much better balls for your money. People think because it's Kirkland, you're like, oh, it's Costco, it's a great value. And they actually tell you it's not a very good golf ball, especially at the price.
Bad value ball.
So, yeah, it's check it out. My Golf Spy, it's just one of those things. I follow them, and it's kind of cool because, you know, golf is so much about, you know, brand loyalty or kind of what you hear or like, oh, this is great. And they take all that crap away. And sometimes it is the really expensive stuff that ends up being the best. And other times, it's not. In fact, I think their number one golf ball, well, their number one golf ball is the expensive Pro V one.
Sure.
It's by far the best ball. Their one after that is the Dick's brand, the Max Fly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they say the Max Fly Tour is the best, because I think it's like $15 cheaper than the Pro V one. Every year that thing gets ranked there as just a tick below the Pro V one, which is like the best golf ball. It performs way better than a lot of the other super high, quote, tour balls. Well, there you go. There's an impromptu random golf thing. Don't buy your golf balls at Costco.
Thanks for ranking balls.
Don't buy your quarter zips. Don't buy your golf balls at Costco. But the beef jerky, fantastic.
So I saw something going viral yesterday on X in the realm of college football, and it sparked a lot of debate both online and among my personal friend group. This is the fantasy college football plane seating dilemma. Have you seen this come across at all?
I have seen this. They do this with a bunch of, I saw this like with politics as well.
So basically the premise is that you're getting onto a plane with 10 rows of seats, or 5 rows, but there's, you know, 2 sides, and each row has 1 seat open. So which open seat are you most likely to join? And and here are the choices. In the first row, you could sit on the aisle next to Lincoln Riley. Next to him is Brent Venables. On the other side of the plane, you could sit between middle seats, Lane Kiffin and Nick Saban. You move a row back, you are on the aisle with Steve Sarkisian in the middle, Kirby on the window. Kirby Smart, that is. Mm-hmm. On the other side of the plane, another middle seat, but you're between Pat McAfee, Mike Gundy, and there's a rack of Coors Light underneath the seat, apparently.
Know where I'm sitting?
Yeah, 100%. It's not even close.
See, here's where I think it might be. I can tell you all the other rows. One row includes Dan Lanning and Coach Prime. Another, Marcus Freeman and Brian Kelly. Another, Jim Harbaugh and Ryan Day. Another one has Dabo Dabo Sweeney and Jesus.
Right, where do I see this? I got to see the...
Here, I will, I'll send it over to you.
Yeah, send it over because I actually want to look at this. Because here's my thing. I got to be careful with this. I probably don't want to sit by any college football coaches. Like, I just think that can be a lot. So I certainly don't want to talk college football with any of them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of I'm looking at two things. One, who just wants to shut up and mind their own business, which is probably plenty of them. Or who would I actually think would be an interesting person to talk to not about football? Like for me, like Mike Leach, I've had lots of conversations with Mike Leach over the years off the air. None of them were about football.
Mm-hmm. And you said he was a fascinating man.
Yeah, he was one of the most interesting guys. We would talk about what we were reading and we talked about our love for Key West. And we just like Mike, anytime we were down at Pac-12 Media Day or anytime I was that I got a chance to be around him, I always found him to be a very, very interesting guy. And so I would want to find someone that wouldn't want to talk like Lanning. Lanning to me would be like every time we bring Coach Lanning on, we talk some football, but I find the most interesting stuff about him is when we talk about non-football stuff. He does seem like a guy that I could talk to things other than football about.
But the problem with that, Roe, is that you also have to sit with Coach Prime.
You know what?
You could talk about Aflac with him.
I kind of would, like, I don't know. As much as that dude seems to be kind of an ass, everyone that's around him that actually played with him or coached with him says he's a great guy. Said he's like he's like super caring. He likes himself a lot of Prime. That may be the Gundy McAfee one. That's the broiest one and seems like it'd be the funnest one. The Lanning Prime is not a bad choice.
Yeah, and then in the back row of the plane, which we didn't get to yet, you could have the window seat next to Connor Stallions with James Franklin on the outside of him. And then additionally, this is the one that really threw people into a would you or wouldn't you, Sydney Sweeney sitting next to you, and on her window side, Urban Meyer. I think that aisle seat is the easy, obvious choice.
See,
not like I expect something's going to happen, but no. I don't need to sit next to most of those other dudes. I'd like to sit next to Sydney Sweeney, I think.
I would not like to sit next to
Sydney.
Let me just, here's another thing. Again, we're going
to
get...
She wants nothing to do with me.
This is my life's philosophy thing. Like, everyone's like, oh, sit by... Why? So you can be a creepy, fat, sweaty guy staring at some uptops? I have zero in common with Sydney Sweeney. I mean, nothing.
You're both from Washington.
What on earth am I going to talk to Sydney Sweeney about?
She's from Marguerite Street.
Yeah, like this idea. She's like with Glenn Powell, for God's sake. She's going to be like, who's this mid-40 guy bald with a gray beard? No. So all you're going to do there is just be a creep. I don't want to be a creep. That offers me nothing whatsoever. In fact, that may be the last place that I would want to sit.
Oh, God, no. I think other seats would be insufferable. I think sitting next to Prime would be insufferable.
It might pain me to listen to Urban Meyer try to pick up on Sydney Sweeney or just the idea that I'm making her that uncomfortable.
I want to hear. I generally want to be around Jim Harbaugh. I don't know that Ryan Day would be my cup of tea, but I wouldn't mind being by Harbaugh. I think sitting between Saban and Lane would be awesome. I mean, I think that Saban hates Lane, but I think Lane is hilarious.
I think that'd be great because one, that's sneaky because I would like to coach. Or I would like to talk to Nick Saban about non-football stuff. I think he's an interesting guy and he's really well spoken. That would be fun. And then when I'm done with Saban, I can turn and just make fun of Saban with Kiffin. That's not bad because Laner, I would sit by Lane Kiffin. Me and the Lane train I think we'd be fine. I'd like what Lane's got going on, and we'd make fun of Urban Meyer and Sydney Sweeney in the front.
I knew that Will would be into that middle seat between McAfee and Gundy. You into that one too?
Well, it's like if you just want the best time, that's the one.
Yeah, you're getting drunk with McAfee.
McAfee got S-faced on his own show.
Oh, dude,
he threw up. He threw up
because he had like 30 Guinnesses apparently.
Dude, and you see him in Ireland? Dude, I'm with you. Like, let's go. If you told me I'm going to Ireland with one guy, I might take Pat McAfee. And by the way, this is an underrated one, but I would sit in between Jesus and Dad.
See, that's the thing. If Jesus Christ himself were on this plane, right. Yeah, I think you'd have to, right?
It's a dadgum mistake.
Just the idea of... I got questions. I got a lot of questions. I think Jesus may get up and move, by the way.
So what
that
road
may
do you
be
think
one is- where Jesus hits the little button and has to go somewhere else. Because
he I looks across at Dabo and goes, dude, you know nothing about me.
I just got a lot of questions to the King of Kings over there. And I'm certain that he's going to like my line of questioning. So, yeah, that's a...
What's the worst seat on that plane?
The worst seat on the plane...
Is it next to Stallions?
Yeah, it's. I would think it'd be Stallions and James Franklin. Talk about a nothing burger.
Well, dude, Lincoln Riley and Brent Venables.
That's kind of boring, too.
That's so boring. Stallions and Franklin is boring. That's lame. Brian Kelly and Marcus Freeman.
Brian Kelly seems like the worst.
He does. Yeah, he seems like an absolute ass clown. But at least I got Marcus Freeman, who seems like a decent guy. So can I just ignore Brian Kelly and go with Freeman? I'm telling you, sneaky underrated worst seed is the Sydney Sweeney Urban Meyer. It just is.
Can't be.
Dude, we make – I don't get – it's like the guy that goes and gets his haircut because the girl is like really, really hot. What? What, you just love making someone feel uncomfortable? Like, trust me, that seat sucks.
It's hitting on the cart girls.
Yeah, you're that guy. Just don't be that guy.
No one likes the guy that hits on the cart girls.
And when you were 25, guess what? You still didn't have a chance with Sydney Sweeney either.
Nope.
So just let it go.
Unless you grew up in the Spokane area, and yeah, you might have.
All that is just going to be weird and uncomfortable, and Urban Meyer sucks anyways. That's the only good part about 5D is that you're at the front and you're on the island, or on the aisle. That's the only good part about it.
Well, you're also one seat away from Jim Harbaugh, which would be electric.
He's leaning back into Harbaugh. I think I'd rather turn around and talk to Jim Harbaugh. Harbaugh would be an interesting guy.
What do we know about Ryan Day, though?
I just make fun of his
beard. He was born on third base.
Could I make fun of just his dark beard the entire time?
Wait, is he a Nepo baby? What's Ryan Day's deal?
Well, he just took over Ohio State from Urban Meyer.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. So what Harbaugh just says. He says he's a third base guy.
Gotcha.
No, the good one would be is like if I didn't care and I wanted to go full troll, that's an entirely different thing. Because I really do think if we were strapped in and we had to sit there, I could really piss some people off.
Oh, yeah.
And that would be kind of fun. Like, and if we're doing that, if I'm going full troll, the correct answer is to sit next to Dabo. I would like to see if I could get Dabo.
I don't think Dabo could handle you.
I would like to see if I could get Dabo.
He's not taking calls on his radio show anymore?
Yeah. Oh, is that right?
Soft.
Like, I would love to sit next to Brian Kelly or Dabo and just go and just be like, yep, buckle up, boys. We got a couple hours. This thing is going to get a little bumpy.
The initial prompt did say this is an 8-hour flight.
Well, we'll be interested to see what Dabo thinks of me after about four of those hours. We're going hard into this.
All right. We got to get to the club. Coming up, Space Force could have company a $46,000 wedding and honeymoon that did not include the groom. And one of Aaron Rodgers' friends once beheaded a whale. What is happening? It's coming up next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.